in contrary to other networks, we try to minimize the number of games that issues or downloads instead of maximizing, which would bring us margins, right? That's what others try to do. We try to make it less, but try to make it on point so that each user downloads 1 to 2 games, 3 games at best during the whole time, but they stick around.
How can you get pre-ATT levels of behavioral targeting in a privacy-safe way? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name is John Katsir. Today, we're chatting with the co-founder of an AI-powered tool that says it analyzes gameplay and user behavior to understand what gamers, what they're doing, what they're like, and recommend games that they'll want to play while rewarding them for the time they spend playing. It's based in Germany, so I gotta believe it's privacy safe, even though that sounds challenging to accomplish because they have promised age targeting, gender, vertical, even competitor games, and of course, lookalike audiences. To figure it all out, we're chatting with the co-founder of Gamelight, Gunay Alieva. Welcome.
Hi, John. Great to be here.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate it. You're calling from Hamburg, Germany. It's 5:30 in the evening for you, 8:30 in the morning for me. Great to chat with you. Talk about your tool. How does it work?
Yeah, sure. First, I'm happy that we managed to find a time that's fit for both of us. It's super early for you. It's late for me, but it's great that we managed it. Gamelight, how it works. It is app publisher and app developer on one side because we are ourselves an app publisher. We have game recommendation platforms that we build ourselves and that we serve to end users. On the other end, we are a marketing platform. We work with game publishers to promote their games to our audience. And in between, we built an AI algorithm that analyzes a lot of data to make sure we find the right users for each game because we don't believe in serving any ads to any users and hoping they will convert. Rather, making sure that we find the right games for each user and right user for each game.
So you must be embedded in a game then. I guess you've got an SDK and that is kind of observing what's going on. Is that how it works?
Considering that we have only our own users, so we don't work with third parties to bring their traffic to advertisers. It's more our own traffic from our own apps. We don't need SDK. We get all the data directly from users, which is a huge advantage that we have, which other networks don't have. So we have our own users. They share with us their data. They give us permission to use it, and then we utilize this data to serve ads to them through our
Interesting. So you've built or acquired sort of a stable of apps and games, and you're the publisher of those, and then you see what's going on. You have certain privacy arrangements with those users. That's great. That makes perfect sense. And of course, as you expand and grow that stable of apps and games, that makes more and more sense. Let's hit on the privacy for a moment, because of course, we're in the era of privacy. Scan is out there for iOS, Privacy Sandbox is coming for Android, and ATT really threw a monkey wrench into how people work. But first party data and platforms still have a major advantage. So I guess that's the avenue that you took.
Exactly. So we have a huge advantage here, what I mentioned, that because we have our own users, once they register within our platform, they give us permission to see their data, to use this data. And since we also give users rewards, they're usually comfortable with it. So it's not simply some hidden checkbox, but they actively have to go to their phone settings, give us permission, and they know exactly what we are doing with this data. Because once we see the data, we analyze it, and we show them the games they would like. So they also see that if they are a casual game player or strategy mid-core game player, we recommend a more similar title so they enjoy the games we recommend. And then we utilize the data we collect with them so that they can earn rewards on top of just simply enjoying games. So it's a win-win situation for both sides, and we are pretty safe on privacy reasons because it's a very clear, straightforward way, so to say, for us.
Neat. Do you disclose the size of audience that you have in all your games and apps?
We do not track it directly. We acquire users on a daily basis, which is the most important criteria for us, because in contrary to other networks, we try to minimize the number of games that each user downloads instead of maximizing, which would bring us margins, right? That's what others try to do. We try to make it less, but try to make it on point so that each user downloads 1 to 2 games, 3 games at best during the whole time, but they stick around. So we want to make sure we find the right games and they download less games, but the ones that they would love. So this is what is the most important. Yes. So we kind of minimize our margin on some short term, so to say, but long term it maximized because our advertisers are very happy with the users we deliver to them. So we get higher budgets and higher bids.
We have to talk about this more because you're like the anti-ad network or something like that in a sense, because every single ad network and ad platform that I've ever talked to is like more ads, more clicks, more installs, more conversions, more. And I've talked with many people and everybody in the industry knows it as well. It's this endless merry-go-round of I bring users into my game or my app. There's ads in my game or my app that I use to monetize that are trying to get those users out of my game or app. And then I have to reacquire more. And I just go around and around and around the circle. You're actually saying you're trying to limit, but you want to get quality users who engage and retain for a long time.
Exactly. So we don't have the shuffling users from one game to another, from one admin to another, then some in-app purchase, which will monetize them through some more ads maybe within the game. We don't have this circle going around. What we have, the things that we, like me and my co-founder, we both come from the industry and we've been doing UA and dealing with ad tech topics for more than 10 years, each of us. And we know the problem that people were facing and we were facing the same problem. And we wanted to solve it. And this was basically our long-term vision. Instead of focusing on what we get within day 7, day 30, we focused on making advertisers happy because first, they are the ones paying us money, right? So they must be happy with long-term user quality. And second, making users happy because they are the ones thanks to which we actually managed to earn this money. So we focused on more long-term vision, making both sides happy, which in return made us also more profitable because thanks to those sites, we managed to grow the company.
I'm kind of blown away here because I'm going to say something about how I play games and how I use apps. And I'm going to ask a question about how you see that, because that's critical to what you're talking about in terms of what you're actually trying to achieve. So the way that I play games and use apps is I'll try a new one. But if I don't like it, I'll delete it almost immediately. I'll make that determination very quickly, first use, maybe second or third or something like that. But there's a game that I've been playing for, I gotta say, it's a better part of a year. And I don't intend to stop. And I've actually invested money in that game. I've spent money in that game, significant amounts. And you know, I'll probably do so again. And so that game, I'm a long-term, engaged, valuable, paying user who also watches some ads there. Is that typical? Because if you look at this merry-go-round of people, you know, of ad networks and user acquisition, getting more users, churning them, getting more users, churning them, getting more users, churning them, is the way I play games and the way I use apps, is that typical? And is that what you're trying to achieve with your service?
You can say so. What I believe is that each user that plays any games on their mobile or use some apps, they would be target audience for someone, right? If you play mid-core games, you might be target audience for others. But if you are pushed to download a casual title or hyper-casual title, at impression served to you, it's wasted basically because you might not download or you download the generated revenues, but then you don't generate revenues for the game that you downloaded. So it's still a wasted user, so to say, because it impacts the ROAS, hits, and so on. Instead of wasting those, we make sure that we just fit the right ones. So you play some game. So there must be some game that we can show you that you would download and actually stick around instead of playing for maximum one day and then dropping it after whatever time. So what we are trying to do is to make sure that we find the right match, because it's good for, again, advertisers because they have higher ROAS, users stick around longer. It's good for game publishers that monetize with ads, because instead of wasting impressions on them, they actually fit the right ones and they can make, first they get higher conversion rates and then higher ratio of users that would stick around in the game that they downloaded. So their hits will increase for their subsource. So it's basically win-win for every side, because you just need to make sure that the match is right, that you serve the right game to the right user instead of just averages and trying to optimize conversion rates with extra creatives by extra 10%. Instead of just show the right game, your conversion rate will improve, your ROAS will improve for the advertiser and users will stick around longer.
Are you expensive? If you look at your CPI compared to other ad networks, I would assume from what you're saying is that it's more costly because you're more likely to get somebody who is engaged and who does return value. So are you expensive?
Comparatively, yes. If you compare us to some other similar networks, we are definitely more expensive. We work on CPI base and our CPI is on higher end, I would say. But ROAS optimization is basically the core of the whole platform. So we also reach ROAS goals in much shorter time. So let's say if our bids are twice higher, even with higher bids, we deliver four times higher ARPU, so twice better ROAS within the same time period. So we do get better returns back, even with higher bids. And high bids allow us to reach more users, because then we can basically find the core audience for everyone by bidding the highest for each of them instead of bidding average for everyone.
Very cool. Now, you have started in games, and most of the language on your website is about games, and we've been talking about games, but you're also adding more. Talk about that.
Yeah. We have started as games, purely gaming. Also, that's where Game Light is coming from. And we have been working on our algorithm to optimize it for non-gaming too, because we see a niche there that needs to be filled. Because before Game Light came, it was basically a similar thing in the mobile gaming ad tech. It was either rewarded video network or rewarded channels or DSPs and so on, but nothing that would bring such high value by AI targeting. And this still doesn't exist on non-gaming. So we have been working on improving our algorithm, optimizing it specifically to non-gaming apps as well. And also our reward structure is very relevant for non-gaming too. So it's still in demo with some partners, and we will probably be more publicly live in short term.
Cool. But given your business model, it also means acquisition, I'm assuming. You've got to acquire a bunch of apps so that you've got a engaged user base of your own who are opted in to playing the game, you know what I mean, being targeted for other ads, that sort of thing. So that's a piece of it, I assume.
Yeah, so we do advertise our own apps too. Obviously, we are working with pretty much any network you can think that's out there, from the same video networks, reward channels, DSPs, and because we do need those users, right, for whom we can show the gains. And We acquire everyone. We don't have similar targeting options that we provide to our partners. So we acquire everyone that we can and then find from each what would be the best fit and then split it into our advertisers' games.
That's a very interesting business model because, you acquire everyone, so you don't need tight targeting. But then you segment users and you provide tight targeting options to your customers. So your acquisition costs are low. Anybody can come in. What you sell a little higher. It's kind of a, it's a very neat model. Love it.
Yeah, thank you. We think so too. That's where our algorithm came in. Basically, that's what is helping us to find basically the right ones. Making us profitable as well.
Let's talk about that. You talk about AI. Of course, everybody's talking about AI. AI is in everything. My pencil has AI right now. I'm joking. How do you use AI? Where does it fit? What's it do?
Yeah, we have an AI algorithm that we built. What it does, so in the traditional algorithms, how it worked is you would give some rules. For example, if this happens, this is the result I want to have. This is the traditional algorithms. If there's no algorithm, which is manual targeting, what we are used to more in mobile ad tech, you would simply write female, male, this age group, this OS version. There's basically no algorithm. You simply have rules. Next one is with algorithms, which is conditional. And next one is AI, where you don't set certain rules. What you do, you input as much data as possible. It can be user behavior, device details, what kind of apps and games they use, how much they're using, the demographics data, and so on. You input all of this data and you optimize towards the outcome, which is for us maximizing ROAS, maximizing retention and engagement for our advertisers. And what happens within that is done by the AI algorithm itself. So we as humans don't tell anymore if this happens, do this. We simply say, here's the data. Here's the outcome we want to have. Do your best. And it's doing it much better than humans would do because there's so much data to analyze that we as humans can't do it, but the algorithms can do.
Shovel data at it. make it do its work. Interesting.
Right.
Talk about the loyalty piece. I'm going to give you my personal bias here and then just push back on me all that you want. Okay. I hate loyalty programs. I literally hate loyalty programs. Now, my wife, she's in everything. If I go to a store, I know she'll have a loyalty program there. I'll have to give my phone number so she has it. If she's online, she'll have a loyalty program, all that stuff. I just want to do what I want to do and not get all entangled. But obviously, they're a big deal in the world. How does your loyalty program work and why does somebody want to be a part of it?
Yeah, for us, it works for playing games. So more longer you play, it's based on the time and different actions you can take within the game. So more you play, more rewards you can earn. So it's like virtual coins that you can exchange for vouchers like Amazon voucher, Google Play voucher, and so on. This is very beneficial for end users because especially if you play games anyways, you can also better earn money with that, right? Instead of someone else earning money. That's what's happening with basically the rest of the industry that's not giving rewards to end users. What we do, we share what we earn because we believe that if we earn and if we share it with end users, we both have now common interest, increasing the usage time, increasing the time that how much they play the games, how loyal they are to the games. So we shared our common interest with the end users and we have the same goal and we share the earnings that we have. So it works win-win for both sides. And I think it depends on the person, probably, if someone is a loyal person or not. I would say
yes.
Well, it can be good for just the getting a good game recommendation without the rewards part of it. For others, it's definitely an important feature.
I get it. I totally get it. Now, you're based in Hamburg, Germany. Does your tool work best in certain geos like the EU, or are you kind of global?
We are right now live in 11 countries, because those are the core countries for us, which is US, UK, Germany, Japan, Korea, Canada, Australia, Italy, Spain, Netherlands, basically some European countries, some Asian countries, US, North America. Those are our main countries we are live at. We are launching in more countries too, because it works basically everywhere, but we need to, it's like step by step. We can't simply launch globally because we also give rewards, right? So we need to have local agreements with local reward providers. We are launching more countries now. In general, we are obviously aiming to be global, but the concept works everywhere. We are live right now in 11 geos, let's say. 11 geos, they cover a huge market share of mobile ad tech, so to say. So we are live in most core countries for most game publishers.
Cool. I mentioned earlier that you were doing a cool form of arbitrage because you acquired undifferentiated users and then you segment, you add intelligence to them basically and targeting options. I just was looking at your LinkedIn right here. You have a Master of Science in Economics. That makes sense. The dots just connected.
Yeah, it kind of did. We learned all of those problems and how to solve them in university. So I think my university teachers would be proud to see what we are doing now here, but it kind of is connected.
Excellent. Cool. Good night. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you. Thanks so much for this time.
The same here, John. It was great talking to you.